Democratic presidential candidates split on their vision for the future of the party.
On one side, we had two prominent progressives offering big ideas, big overhauls for the healthcare system, immigration, student loans. And then on the other side, we had more moderate candidates offering incremental changes on those same topics.
Plus, Apple reports a drop in iPhone sales, but still posts a rise in revenue. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli. Before we get to last night's debate, here are some other top stories we're following. Apple posted a 1% rise in revenue in the latest quarter, following two consecutive quarterly revenue declines. The results came despite a 12% fall in iPhone sales. The Wall Street Journal's Trip Mickle has more on Apple's latest earnings report.
Usually it's all about the iPhone for Apple, but this quarter it was all about the supporting businesses. Those supporting businesses helped the company shake off its iPhone woes and deliver a revenue increase of 1% in the period. The company continues to wrestle with slow iPhone sales, which declined 12% during the June quarter. But by the same token, it's getting great growth from its wearables business, which includes smartwatches and AirPods, and also services like Apple Pay and Apple Care insurance for devices. And those things helped the company deliver the revenue increase in the period, and that was welcomed by investors who sent the stock up a little over 4% in after-hours trading.
The Wall Street Journal has a commercial agreement to supply news through Apple News. The woman charged with stealing data from Capital One in one of the largest ever data thefts at a bank showed strange behavior online in the months before the hack. We report that Paige Adele Thompson, a former employee at Amazon's cloud division who was arrested in Seattle on Monday, at times bragged about her efforts online and also discussed struggles in her personal life. The data breach exposed data from more than 100 million Capital One credit card customers and applicants. A lawyer for Thompson could not be reached for comment, and Amazon declined to comment on the circumstances of her departure from the company in 2016. For more on the breach and what it means for Capital One customers, check out full coverage on our website at WSJ.com. The first group of 10 Democratic presidential hopefuls took the stage in Detroit on Tuesday, sparring over issues including student loans and health care. The debate was broadcast on CNN.
You support Medicare for All, which would eventually take private health insurance away from more than 150 million Americans in exchange for government-sponsored health care for everyone. Congressman Delaney just referred to it as bad policy, and previously he has called the idea political suicide that will just get President Trump reelected. What do you say to Congressman Delaney?
You're wrong. The hospitals will save substantial sums of money because they're not going to be spending a fortune doing billing and the other bureaucratic things that they have to do today. Second of all, maybe you did that and made money off of health care, but our job is to run a nonprofit health care system.
The Wall Street Journal's Tarini Party says the debate showed splits within the Democratic Party, with Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders going on the defensive against more moderate candidates, with both offering different visions for the future of the Democratic Party.
On one side, we had two prominent progressives, Senator Bernie Sanders and Senator Elizabeth Warren, offering big ideas, big overhauls for the healthcare system, immigration, student loans. And then on the other side, we had more moderate candidates like Congressman John Delaney, like Senator Amy Klobuchar, offering incremental changes on those same topics. Some of these moderate candidates have been struggling to gain traction in the crowded primary and used this debate to draw contrasts with Senator Warren and Senator Sanders, who have been in most polls as, you know, the top four contenders. In one of the big moments of the night, we saw Senator Elizabeth Warren arguing with Congressman Delaney on those big ideas. She finally said,
"You know, I don't understand why anybody goes to all the trouble of running for president of the United States just to talk about what we really can't do and shouldn't fight for."
There was also a substantive back and forth on Medicare for All. This is a proposal that both Senator Sanders and Senator Warren support. This would replace private insurance. Senator Sanders was getting grilled by moderates repeatedly on this, and at one point he said he knows what he's talking about because he, quote, wrote the damn bill. This is a line that his campaign has now put on a sticker and is already selling to its supporters. We also saw an effort from many of the candidates to tie themselves to a former President Obama, who was mentioned at least 10 times by different candidates. We've already seen former Vice President Joe Biden do this on the campaign trail. This is something he will likely do again during the debate, where we'll likely also see another debate between the progressive wing and the moderates within the party.
The candidates were united in going after President Trump, particularly over his recent comments on Twitter, directed at Maryland Representative Elijah Cummings, chairman of the House Oversight Committee. The president described Cummings' congressional district, which includes Baltimore, as a, quote, disgusting rat and rodent infested mess. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar was among those who went after those comments on Tuesday night.
I don't think anyone can justify what this president is doing. Little kids literally woke up this weekend, turned on the TV, and saw their president calling their city, the town of Baltimore, nothing more than a home for rats. And I can tell you, as your president, that will stop.
And we'll have more on what to expect on night two of the debates, which include former Vice President Joe Biden, coming up in just a moment. But first, some more on the stories we're following this Wednesday. Chipmaker Qualcomm reports earnings after the market close on Wednesday. For more on what to expect, The Wall Street Journal's Charlie Turner spoke with reporter Asa Fitch.
Asa, how are Qualcomm's results affected by the ongoing political tensions with China?
Well, Qualcomm is one of these companies, these American companies, that's in some ways at the center of the dispute involving the U.S. and China. Qualcomm joined a slew of other chipmakers in suspending shipments to Huawei, the Chinese telecom giant, in May, after the Trump administration put a ban on those exports to Huawei in the broader context of this trade dispute. Qualcomm later resumed shipping some of its products to Huawei after determining that they didn't actually violate the U.S. law. But these restrictions will still have an impact on its results. So a lot of people are looking at what that impact will be. Huawei accounts for about 3% of Qualcomm's revenue. It seems like a small amount, but Qualcomm's quite a large company. So it could have an impact, and people are looking at what that will be.
What about Qualcomm's legal dispute with the Federal Trade Commission? A judge in California sided with the FTC in an antitrust dispute with Qualcomm.
That's right. More than 2 years ago, the FTC filed suit against Qualcomm. And the FTC said that Qualcomm had leveraged its dominance as a supplier of mobile phone communications chips, the tiny little chips that allow your phone to communicate with cell phone towers and then, you know, transfer other people's voices to your phone, leveraged its dominance there to extract inappropriately high patent royalties from its customers. So as you're saying, the FTC won the first round of that battle, and now Qualcomm is appealing and seeking a stay of an order that would require it to upend its business model and renegotiate its patent licensing deals. So that could have an effect financially because Qualcomm executives actually have already said in court filings that some of their customers are already threatening to stop making payments. If that happens, if people stop paying royalties to Qualcomm, it could have a significant impact on the company's financial future, on its profitability. The patent licensing business is about a third of its overall revenues, but it's quite a high margin business, so it's very important for profits. So that's another thing people are looking at closely.
And we'll hear more from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell on Wednesday afternoon at the conclusion of the central bank's two-day policy meeting. The Fed is widely expected to cut short-term interest rates for the first time in more than a decade. And we'll have live analysis of night two of the Democratic presidential debates, which include Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. The Wall Street Journal's Eliza Collins has this preview.
Wednesday night is that rematch everyone is looking for with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Harris went after Biden for his record on race and really blindsided him. I mean, Biden told us repeatedly, really, that attacks came out of nowhere, and he has said that he is prepared this time. he basically said, you know, if they want to argue about the past, I can do that. I'm proud of my past, and they've got some questions in their past. And this is a shift for Biden, because ahead of the first debate, he said he was not going to go after other candidates. He wanted to have a forward-looking vision for his campaign. Now it appears he's willing to dig up some actions from these other candidates, basically saying, if you're going to go after me, I'm going to go after you.
Collins says other candidates will also be looking for their moment to shine.
Cory Booker, he is someone who has been critical of Joe Biden on race. He actually started questioning Biden's record on race even before Kamala Harris. And, you know, you have to wonder, he saw Harris take on Biden and also get a fundraising and polling bump from that. Booker is someone who really needs to have a moment in order to break into that top tier. You know, he is doing okay in fundraising. He's doing okay in polling. He will be on stage in September, so he at least has some lifeline ahead, but he needs to have a moment in order to show donors that they should look at him versus some of these other candidates. So it's possible that he takes on Biden on stage. He's already started to take him on via comments to reporters.
And for more coverage and analysis of the debates, you can follow our live analysis this evening at WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Wednesday morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.